John chapter number 3. I'm going to read two verses of scripture. John chapter number 3, verse 5 and 6. Depending upon how everybody heals up or not, I did intend to leave just a little bit early to go to LA to preach for their DRO's 10-year anniversary. So I wasn't going to be here on Wednesday night, but if there's nobody here to take my spot, I'll be here. And but if not, you'll know that you need to pray for me, because I'm really nervous about this. And even though it's my friend, and I've preached in that pulpit in that place many, many times before, I'm kind of nervous about it. It's a big deal, 10-year anniversary. It's a big deal for them. So I would that you pray for me, that God would help me and be the words in my mouth as I attempt to minister to them and their congregation and those that will be there. So please pray for me on that behalf, and really pray that God keep his hand up on me, that he doesn't let me get sick. So please pray for me. Amen. John chapter number 3, verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit." I want to, it's been a long running for a very, very long time that somebody will say, got milk. Remember when everybody's trying to get everybody drink milk? Say, got milk. And then it was got this and got that and got that. So I'm just going to borrow that one, okay? But it's not got milk. And I'm just going to simply title this got conversion. Got conversion?
That's good.
Or have you been converted?
That's good.
Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. If we have been born again or converted, according to John chapter 3, 5, and 6, then all things that should have been passed away, and all things that should have become new. So I want to take us on a little bit of a journey and talk about this conversion. The difference between the flesh and the spirit is that the flesh lusts for the things of the world and follows, and I'm going to be very just candid and blunt, and it's not that I'm going to be mean or nasty or anything like that, and so I don't want you to take it like that, but if you're going to follow after the lust of the flesh, you're following after the world, you're following after Satan. Now, I know a lot of people say, no, I'm not following after Satan, it's just... But just allow me to make a very clear delineation between flesh and spirit, as the scripture does. I want to be very clear also that oftentimes in our religious and Christian society, when you ask who the opposite of God is, everybody wants to say the devil. But that's wrong. The devil is not the opposite of God. The devil still is God's creation. He is not equal to God. He never will be equal to God. And that's the whole reason why he got kicked out of heaven like an idiot.
Yes.
Say, oh, that was mean. Well, I'm going to tell you, anybody that's already in heaven and has it made and gets kicked out is an idiot. Right? Amen. And so he is not God's equal, but that was the purpose that he got kicked out of heaven, was because he tried to make himself equal with God. And there is no equal with God. Amen. So let's be very honest with ourselves, and let's understand that the fact of the matter is, I'm either living for God or I'm living for the devil. Now, on your journey in living for God, you can make mistakes.
All right. Okay? But that doesn't mean that you're living for the devil. But when you have a conversion, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The spirit, here's the difference, the flesh follows after the lusts of the flesh and worldliness and Satan, while the spirit obeys. There's a real big difference between what happens in flesh and spirit. The spirit obeys the voice of God. The spirit does the desires and the will of God. It doesn't follow after what it wants. It follows after what God wants. So no longer is there self-will, but there is God's will. Big difference, right?
Yes.
And all of us have struggled with this. All of us have these difficulties from time to time. And that's part of maturity. And that's part of walking with the Lord. And you learn how to walk with Him closer day by day. So just because you fail doesn't mean that you're following after Satan. But if you know that there's something that you are doing that is not pleasing to God, thus you are not obeying the voice of the will of God, then you are following. Because the scripture even said that judgment begins at the house of God. And so if I don't know any better, I'm okay until I do know better. That makes sense?
Yes.
If you don't understand that you're doing something wrong until you are taught, then you're ignorant. That's all. You just don't know. But when you are taught, when you have understanding, when you know that there is a line drawn, or when you know that there is a fence there, that if you cross that fence, there's death on the other side of that. There's destruction on the other side of that. And you go jump the fence, that you made a conscious decision to follow after.
Right.
And so that's really, I know in today's society, even in our religious world, there's a lot of these places that people are now calling gray areas. But when we read our Bible, it's black and white.
Yes.
Amen? It's truth or it's a lie. It's spirit or it's flesh. And that's just no way that we can really, really get around that. And so may I say, if you and I are truly born again or converted, there ought to be, there should be a transformation of new life that happens in us. Losing old desires, separating ourselves from worldliness, and walking in God's Spirit. Paul says in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 16, it reads like this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill those sinful desires, those things that Satan would tempt us with. You will not be fulfilling. Notice I did not say you will not be tempted. You will be tempted, but you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh if you and I walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a constant war that's going on between us. I mentioned this at our Bible study last night, that we all have a good dog and a bad dog. And you've seen the Dennis the Menace cartoon before? The angel on one side, the devil on the other? Kind of the same principle. Whichever one you listen to determines how much trouble you're going to be in or how much good that's going to come out of it. Right? Well, you can take two dogs in the physical, and if you keep on feeding the one and you starve the other, but before too long, that one that is starving is going to die. And you and I make the choice of which dog to feed, if you will, whether the things of the Spirit or whether the things of the flesh. Nobody makes that choice for you.
Right.
Don't ever forget that. And so it's not. And so nobody can say, well, my pastor and the preacher of my church or my religious organization. Or no. This is all about you. and not in a negative sense. This is all about your decisions of what your success will be. What are you going to feed? Are you going to feed your spirit or are you going to feed your flesh?
Right.
Amen? Yes. For the flesh lusts up against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. They're constantly pounding heads. They're contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And that's why Paul began to talk about, he said, the things that I would, that I do not. The things that I would not, that I do. Because there's this war going on the inside of me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. We have a fleshly nature that is constantly warring against what God has put into us. Amen. Verse 18 said, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry. I'm not going to go into all of the details of these. I'm just going to name them because we got a lot of ground to cover today. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And I like the way he put that in there, and such like. You know what that means? Anything that's like that. You know why? Because he knew there was going to be some people in 2018 on February the 25th that were going to go, well, my sin isn't named there. Huh? Yeah, he knew already. He already knew what most folks are going to do. They're going to go, well, it didn't name what I'm doing, so I must be okay. Anything that is like these things that I've mentioned, because he knew the nature of humanity, that we have this great sense and a great ability to constantly justify. Justify, well, it's not technically murder because I've only killed them a million times in my mind. Really? Huh. Well, it's not technically adultery because I've only had a relationship with them in my mind. That could be debatable. You could be in very serious trouble. The Bible talks about, let's go, okay? We'll stop right there. It said, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, so Paul is just like me today and said, hey, we've already talked about this before. Huh? Have we ever talked about this before? Sure we have. But Paul said, you know what? It's not grievous to me because I understand the war that goes on, and it's continually. Today it may not be Brother Edwin's fight. It may be Sister Renee's fight. And it may not be neither of their fight, but it may be Brother Dan's fight today. And in 2 months from now, it may all switch up and be their fight. And so it's a constant thing that is being, a constant war that is being waged against us. He goes on to say, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit. Shall not inherit. That's a pretty black and white thing to me. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, peace, long-suffering, is gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, there's no boundary. You can't have too much love. You can't have too much joy. You can't give out too much peace. You can't be too long-suffering. You can't be too temperate. You can't have too much meekness. And meekness is not weakness. I guarantee you that Moses, being told that he was having the accolade of being the meekest man on earth, he was not the weakest. He was not necessarily the gentlest or the kindest all the time. He smote a rock because he got angry with the people of God. He got mad. There were times that Moses got mad. He was furious. And guess what? His anger did keep him out of the promised land. Because God took, and it wasn't because of his anger. Now I should back up, but it wasn't because of his anger. His anger didn't keep him out of the promised land. It was his obedience that kept him out of the promised land. God said, speak to the rock. He smote it. That's why he did it going to the promised land. It wasn't because he was aggravated. It wasn't because he was mad at what they were doing, the sin that was going on, the things that were happening. It was because he wasn't obedient. That was what God was upset with. But that was not a weakness of Moses, because I'm going to tell you, it takes a lot to truly lead 3 million people. Oh yeah, 3 million plus people, especially to lead them around in a desert, around and around in a mountain, Brother Edwin, for 40 years. Yeah. That takes some patience. Yeah. That takes some maneuvering. That takes some ability. That takes some real leadership. And he had problems that he had to deal with throughout the whole deal. So let's go on. It said temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, everybody say, they that are Christ.
They that are Christ.
That are Christ have crucified. You have crucified. You have killed the flesh with the affections and lusts. If I am Christ, I have crucified. I've killed the affections and the lusts. If there's that powerful word again, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Let me take you to another setting of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. It says in verse 17, therefore, if I'm telling you what, I lately have been really, really, really stuck on small words, because these small words in the Bible make a significant difference in the totality of what the Word of God says. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. Everybody say is.
Is.
There's that if you be in Christ, you are. It's a powerful word. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. These are pretty emphatic statements, aren't they? Yes. If I am a new creature in Christ, or if I am in Christ, these things are evident. Period. Not kind of, sort of, not maybe, not iffy, not by chance. They are. If any man be in Christ, that is saying, if you are truly, can I say it like this, born again? Or do you have conversion? If you are truly converted, there will be a noticeable change in our life. A change in our attitude. A change in my desires. A change in so many aspects of my life. To be a Christian, I know I've said it before, I will say it again. It is to be Christ-like. Am I Christ-like? I ask myself that question often. Lord, I want to be more like you. I know that I'm not, but I will say that there is a desire. There is a reaching for, a longing for, to be more like him. Amen. It is my desire to be Christ-like. And if I am to be like Christ, amen, sin does not reign. That's a key. Sin does not reign. Sin does not, or how about rule? Sin does not rule in my members. Got it? I may fail from time to time. I want to make sure that we have a definite difference in this, because some people take their failure and it's so catastrophic and it just needs to be a little blip on the radar, if I can say it that way. It doesn't mean that you crashed.
Right. Yeah.
There are times that a plane will lose altitude, and it may send off some warning bells, but it doesn't mean that they crashed. Right? Right. The pilot does what? He recovers. Right? He recovers after a drop in altitude. He recovers over a situation. You recover when you have perhaps fallen into sin or maybe been tempted and even fallen. But sin does not rule and reign in your body. You're not giving yourself to it because you have been converted. Okay? There is a difference. And I hope that I'm getting to that difference in your mind and getting that through to your mind, but not just in your mind. It's got to connect with your heart.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 12 said, "Let not sin therefore reign or rule in your mortal body, that ye should obey." Everybody say obey.
Amen.
That you should obey the lust thereof. Amen. See, obedience is a very big key in what reigns or rules in your life. Because you're either going to obey the lust of your flesh and follow after Satan, or you're going to obey the commandments of God and run heartily after Him and find great peace and fulfillment. But again, you have the choice, my friend. You have the choice, brother and sister. Neither, the Bible said in verse 13, and yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. You don't give your members. I'm not going to walk to that strip club. I'm not going to yield my members to walk there. I'm not going to yield my members, my hands, to touch things that I shouldn't. I'm not going to yield my members to watch things that I should not see.
Right.
I'm not going to yield my mouth to things that I should not say. I may feel it, but I ain't going to do it.
Right.
My pastor always used to say, pray for my pastor. He's not doing well at all. Even though they said 2 or 3 years, suffice it to say he's not well. He used to say, there needs to be a little bit of cussing everybody. That's what he used to say. But what he was saying is, you got to have some syrup in your bucket, but don't let the swear words come out of your mouth. You may get a little bit. You got to have a little bit of syrup in your bucket, a little bit of tenacity, a little bit of fight inside you. You ain't just gonna lay down and everything.
Right.
If you don't have some syrup in your bucket, you ain't worth your salt. So he'd always talk about. I'm sorry, I get a little bit. When I start talking about my pastor, thinking about my pastor, all these stories come flooding back in my mind that he taught me when I was a kid. You talk about syrup in your bucket. It's like that little kid that got corrected. And mother said, get your nose in the corner. Or no, he said, sit down. That was the right one. He said, the mother said, sit down. And he would stand back up. She'd whip him again, and she'd say, sit down. She'd push him down. He'd stand back up, and she'd whip him again, and she'd push him back down. He'd sit down. He'd stand back up. This happened a couple different times. And finally, he sat there after she finally put him down there. And then she looks at him, and she said, what are you thinking, boy? He said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That's syrup.
Yeah.
That's syrup in your bucket. I may be sitting down physically, but oh, I want to be standing on the... Amen. And there's nothing wrong with it. That'll help you live for God. That'll get you through some trials. If you get the grit, my pastor used to always say, if I can just get Derek Newman turned in the right direction, he'll be something someday. I'll never forget that. He told somebody else that and it got back to me. In other words, she's saying, he ain't what he could be, but if I can just get to all of that whatever he's got in him, if I can get it turned in the right direction, some of y'all go, yeah, you still need some more direction, but I'll pray for you. I'll never forget that, and that had such a profound effect on me because I had some syrup in my bucket. I had some tenacity. I had some go-get-em. I had some things, and my pastor used to always say, you know what? Your gift will make room for itself. I was always wanting to go, always wanting to do. Your gift will make room for itself. Your gift will make room for itself. And one day, God opened up the door, and my gift has made room for itself. We got people that are chomping at the bit all the time, and it's not time for them to go, and they get the cart before the horse. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Sorry, I got off track.
All right.
Amen. Nevertheless, he said, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Do you know what that means? Those that yield yourself unto God, to those things that are alive after the dead, that have been born again, that have been converted. I've been changed. I've been newborn. I'm going to yield myself as wholehearted as I did drugs, as I drank alcohol, as I chased women, as I did all of these ungodly things, as I lied, as I cheated. And some of y'all go, you did all that, Pastor? No, I didn't. But I know some people do. Lied and cheated and was deceptive. I did do that.
You?
Yeah, I did. I cheated on almost every one of my tests in school. Sorry. I repented a long time ago. I don't know what to tell you. But we all got our problems, right?
That's right.
Amen.
I don't cheat anymore. I repented, I said. I've been converted. Is that all right? Yeah. Is that too hard for some of y'all? No. You may have been chasing women and drinking. Mine was cheating.
Sin is a sin.
It don't matter what it is, Brother Dan. We all got sin. We've all come short of the glory of God. But we all need converted. I need a change in my life. I don't want to be the same I used to be. Amen. And so we all have a conversion process that needs to take place, but I'm not going to yield myself unto the things of my flesh, unto the enemy of my soul. I'm going to yield my members unto God. Verse 14 said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, a lot of people take grace for granted. Well, let's read. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. What does those next two words say?
God forbid.
God forbid. God forbid. I think our religious society has lost those two words. They said, well, I'm under grace. I'll never forget the story. Again, my pastor telling me this. He was talking to a couple, and he was very close. Well, it was a relative of his. And she looked at my pastor while smoking a cigarette and saying, I am under grace, therefore I am not really smoking this cigarette. That's what she said. I am under grace, therefore I am not smoking this cigarette. I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Therefore, I'm under grace. Therefore, I'm having an affair on my wife. No, you're in adultery.
Right.
You're in sin.
Right.
You're in sin. I'm under grace, and I just lied to you so it was to my advantage, but I'm under grace, so it's okay. Now, all of us here today and all of us listening online, y'all know that's crazy. You all laughed. You thought, how ridiculous, how absurd. But it's so true and so indicative of our world today. Our Christian society does do that. That's why we've got continually still so many. Oh, God, have mercy. I got to quit. Sorry, baby, I'm trying. My wife has really been helping me. She's such a good help me, and I appreciate her so much. I'm trying to stay focused. I get all bent out of shape.
Preach.
She says, she told me, she said, just stay focused. And she's trying to help me. Because I get going on all these things that just come to my brain. But I hope it's helping somebody today. Yeah. And I'll try to stay focused and help somebody out of my problems. Can't help my ADHD. God's got to fix that. Amen. Now, verse 16 said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? You got a choice. You got a choice. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. We're making choices even today. You made a choice today to be here in the house of God. And it was the best choice you could have made, was to be here in the house of God and help you in this conflict between flesh and spirit. That's what we're doing today. We're helping you live for God. Verse 17 said, but God be thanked that ye were. There's a little word. There's another one of those little words that's a mundane word. Doesn't seem to be very significant, but it's so powerful. That ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Peter and the apostles were followers of Christ. Now hear me. This is important that you get this. They were followers of Christ, but they were not born again. They were not converted. Hear me. They were in training. For remember, Jesus specifically told them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Right? He said, follow me. In other words, you're not yet, but I will get you there. Now, hold on. Some of y'all are having a little bit of a hard, you're having a hard time swallowing that and saying that for me to say that the disciples of Jesus were not converted. Hold on, ride with me just a little bit longer. They were not fully born again or converted until the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, they had been baptized. We see evidence of that, right? They had been baptized, but they were not born again of the Spirit until they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Being filled with the Spirit made a difference in their life. Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. That's what he said. He said, except you be converted and become.
Ooh, wow.
Except you be converted and become. Become is a process. And that's what's so wrong and so, well, maybe that's too hard for some of you. That's what's so, no, that's hard. That's what's so hard to try to grasp is people want to say, don't get me wrong. There's some significance to a prayer, an initial prayer of I believe. But it don't stop there.
Yeah.
This is a becoming process. This is not I come to an altar and I pledge my allegiance to Jesus and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and poof! I become. And I am saved. Saved, my friends, is a finished product. But I am on a journey today. And I am on the journey of becoming more like Jesus. But it didn't he even say, and I can't remember exactly where it is right offhand, but the day that you do good and your evil will be remembered no more, but the day that you do evil... your good, and I'm paraphrasing it. Your good will be remembered no more. The day of, oh, I've done evil, and guess what? Really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You got it? Now you can repent. Don't get me wrong. Again, you got to understand what I'm talking about. But I am in the process of becoming. But if I walk in the flesh, I stop the becoming process. And if I'm not careful, I will start to digress and do what is the phrase is coined a backslide. I go backwards because I am fulfilling the lust of my flesh. I go forward when I become more like Jesus. Right? so I fall back into the scripture. Another scripture that just came to my mind is I fall back into perdition. I end up being like a dog that returns to his own vomit.
Yeah. Jesus, help us.
Amen. Amen. He said, except ye be converted and become as little children. Again, he uses some very powerful words. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Listen to the word converted. Listen to the word converted. It is to change something into another form, another substance, another state of being, or another product. To completely transform. That's being converted. It has a second definition, to change something from one use to another use. The enemy used to use me, but now God does. I'm not for the use of Satan any longer. I'm for the use of Jesus Christ. I have been converted. To change something in function, to change something in purpose, from one purpose to another purpose. What do they call that? You go over to Habitat for Humanity, and all the stuff that they sell at Habitat for Humanity is repurposed goods. That slider that was in that house has been taken out, and now is being sold to somebody else that is going to use it in another home for another purpose. I was used and abused by the world and by the enemy of my soul, but when I was converted, I am now repurposed for the use solely for God.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Powerful. Powerful. If you and I claim to be converted to Christianity, and you and I haven't changed, we have deceived ourselves.
That's right.
Well, Brother Dan just said, and everybody else. Fact is everybody else knows. They can see it. They can go, yeah, I heard that he confessed himself and became a Christian, but he still does everything that he used to do. Matter of fact, I saw his truck down there at the bar the other day. I saw him. Oh, Lord, it's quiet. It's not because there's not very many people in church today either. It's still pretty quiet. So can I say the title again? Got conversion? Have you really been converted? Now, I don't care where you are in your walk with God. I don't care how long we've been living for God, myself included. I believe it still is of the utmost importance to look into the mirror or the perfect law of liberty and say, hello. Well, let's face the music here. We're really got a canon ability to say, can't you see yourself? Can't you see yourself? Can't you see? Can you not see yourself? We've got this ability to get the mirror out and show everybody else what they are. But flip that baby over, and you might get scared. Take the beam out of your own eye. And so, yes, I may be preaching this today, but I promise you that I'm not excluded from what I'm preaching. I've got to look at myself in my own mirror and say, are you becoming? Am I becoming more like him, or am I not? Am I obeying the lust of my flesh, or am I obeying the spirit that is with me? In me. Now let's get back to this. First Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 16 said, "Know ye not? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" Has anybody in this house heard that scripture before? Anybody, raise your hand. Who's heard that scripture? Okay, most of us have. "Know ye not that ye are the temple?" You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Do you not know that? Come here, son. You are now the temple. Do you realize this is a temple? Okay? And this is a temple. We're not the same temple. Guess what? I'm not responsible for his temple. He is. He's not responsible for this temple. I am. Stand up, Brother Edwin. There's another temple right there. Guess what? Me and him combined are not responsible for his temple. We are individually responsible for our own temple. And do you not know that you are the temple of God? God considers your body to be a temple. And what temple, what is in your temple? What is in your house? Thank you. Thank you. What is in your house? The scripture, verse 17, said, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." Him shall God destroy. What a sobering thought. If any man defile the temple, nobody has a responsibility for their temple like you do.
That's right. That's right.
If this temple is defiled, it's because of me. I can't blame it on my wife. I can't blame it on my children. I can't blame it on anybody else. If this temple is defiled, it's my deal. And I'm the only guy that can get it cleaned up. I'm the only guy that can get the vacuum cleaner out. I'm the only guy that can get the Lysol wipes out. Get the Clorox heavy in the mop bucket and start cleaning. I'm the only one that can do that. I am the temple of God. And if I defile my temple, the Bible said God will destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I'm telling every one of us today, because we are created in his image and in his likeness. We were created to be holy.
Amen.
Hello. Hello. We were created to be holy. We were created to be like him. Hallelujah. We were created to be like him. But sin came into the world and has defiled our temple. And we have a responsibility now to keep it clean.
Yes. Yes.
I have a responsibility to say, "No, you're not coming in. No, I'm not looking. No, I'm not speaking. No, I'm not touching. No, I'm not going." I have a responsibility to keep this temple clean. Now let's get back to the conversion issue with the disciples. Luke 22 and 31 said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." Can I say today to every single person under the sound of my voice today, Satan wants you. He wants you more than Uncle Sam does. Come on now, I got some of y'all's attention there. He wants you more than Satan could ever want you. He wants you more than anybody with any kind of agenda could want your support. Get those emails and all this other kind of stuff. Support me. Support me. They're all reaching and buying for your attention and your support. Let me tell you something. There is nobody who wants your support more than the devil.
That's
He wants you to support his kingdom. Come on now. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. Oh, but I thank God for this. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Notice his next statement. And when thou art converted. There's my point. Obviously, he is not converted. But Jesus is saying, when you are converted. So no matter how long he was following him and his disciple, and even though he got baptized, he still wasn't converted. Why? Because John even said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again of the water and the Spirit. So Peter only had half of the born again process in place. So it's no wonder it was easy for Jesus to say, when thou art converted, when you get the rest of the process done in your life, what does he say? Strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to the death. Yeah, you big mouth. That's really what he was. Kind of like me. I know that's what some of y'all are saying, so we're thinking in your mind, so I just went ahead and finished it for you. Come on, man. Hey, that's exactly what was happening. He was like, I'll go to you. I'll go to the death with you. I'll go to prison with you. And Jesus says to him, whoa, hold on a second. Isn't it funny how so many of us can open up our mouths too quickly? Yeah. And we'll say a lot of things. Man, I would never do that. Oh. And there you are. Of all things. And you just said, I would never do that.
Amen.
Well, at least me and Brother Edwin have fellowship. Me and you believe the same way, brother. Because there have been plenty of times that I have said to myself, I'd never do that. And you know what's happened to me? I've done it. Me too. All these other good folks here, they ain't never done nothing like me and you done. Yeah, whatever. Huh? Come on. I'll never do that. I would never act like that. I would never. All right, Peter. The cock's not going to crow but three times, and you're going to deny me thrice. No, not me. Not me. Not me. Not me. I'm a Christian. Yeah. You're a Christian. And you go and you warm yourself by that fire. I know him not. And then the third time, the scripture said that he went back to his cousin. He went back to cussing like a sailor again. He's a fisherman. I don't know what it is about fishermen and boats. And I love the ocean and I love the fish, but man, God's got me here in the desert. Maybe he don't want me to cuss. No, no. You understand what I'm talking about? You get it? Here he is the third time, and he's finding himself cussing, and then that cock crows, and he goes, oh no, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Really? Come on, I know I'm being a little bit comical here, but I'm really trying to get to you. I'm really trying to get you to understand. You can say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Flex your muscles all you want. You can say, I'll go to the death for Jesus. I'll go to prison for Jesus. I'll go. But when it really comes down to it, if you haven't been truly converted.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And Peter hadn't been. He hadn't been converted yet, had he? He had been born of the water, but not of the Spirit. Woo! But what happens that day when he is filled with the Spirit? What happens that day when he's in that upper room?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jesus, right?
Maybe that just went over some of y'all's head. I don't know about you, but his conversion became complete. And now he stands up and he said, men and brethren, these are not drunk like ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is the power of the Spirit of God that Jesus preached to us. That he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. What happened was Peter was fully converted. Because now he's standing up and telling others. And not only that, he does truly stick with it all the way to the death. Now he does. Now he does die for his Christianity. Now he does die for what he believes. But if you're not truly converted, if you're not fully born again of the water and of the Spirit, you can say a lot of things, but live a lot of other ways than after the Spirit. And many of us, we struggle with the fact that, well, I'm trying. Honey, brother, sister, just keep trying. Because that's all we all are doing. Don't ever, ever give up. Don't ever give in. But make sure that you have completed the conversion process. Being born again of water and of the Spirit. Because it is when you have been converted or born of the Spirit that the Scriptures, oh God, he said, here's the deal. We'll preach about getting the Holy Ghost, and again, because of the way we think as humanoids, as humans, we mark it off as a checklist. Okay, I got the Holy Ghost. Now what? It's not like that. Living for God is not a checklist. Done.
That's right.
Done.
That's
done. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Living for God is not a checklist. But let's face it, because our system, our world today is so much of a checklist. Many people get the Holy Ghost and go, okay, now what? No. No. After they got the Holy Ghost, he said, I'm giving you power. Right? You know what he said? I'm giving you power. And then he didn't stop there. He said, I'm giving you power to become. Yeah. You're giving this Holy Ghost because I want to give you power to become. So the Holy Ghost is not just something that we get to mark off of our mental checklist, but it is something that we go, whoa, I am receiving power to become.
Yes, praise God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Because I'm not automatically everything that I should be, and I can't do it on my own flesh, because my Bible told me that the flesh is warring against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. So I cannot become everything that Jesus wants me to be if I'm trying to do it in my flesh. Because my flesh says no. No. And the Spirit says, come on, you can do this. Come on. And the flesh goes, no! Come on, don't act like none of y'all's flesh does that. That's exactly the way our flesh does. And the Holy Ghost is saying, come on, you can do this. Come on, so gentle, so careful, so kind. And the flesh is going, my flesh does it anyhow. Maybe y'all are some more angelic being than I am, but I'm just telling you, there's a war between those two. And though I love to hear the voice of God wooing me tenderly and gently, there's that nastiness. What are you laughing at? There's a war going on inside.
Yes.
Don't be scared of me.
I'm harmless.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
I ain't scared. I ain't scared. I'm not scared that much. Huh? Come on now. I've got this war going on inside of me. And unless I get converted and I am born of the Spirit, I'm not going to have power to become what He wants me to become. So I'm going to fight twice as much. Because 10 times as much, not just twice, 10 times, 100 times, because I'm trying to do it against my fleshly desires, and that's why I'm constantly in this war.
You are awesome, Jesus. I worship you. You are beautiful. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father Jesus.
Savior, I worship you, God.
You are wonderful, my God.
Converted.
Oh, y'all didn't even know that went out, did you? Peter just went on preaching like nothing was ever a matter because you got such a big mouth nobody knew. Except for those online.
Okay, for those of you back online, you missed it. It's too bad. Too bad. I was just screaming at the top of my lungs. I hope you enjoyed the silence. I'm talking about a real conversion.
Yes, yes.
A real conversion.
I'm talking about a real change. And even though I understand that today I'm going to close right now, I understand that I've used some things to make some of you laugh, but I know what I know in the Holy Ghost today. That there are those of us that are struggling. We're struggling and fighting for everything that we're worth. There is a real war that's going on. So desperately wants us. And even though, may I say, God may not be necessarily struggling like this because it is ultimately up to you. I want you to see God does love you. And God does care about you. And He will fight for you.
Yes, He will.
And let me tell you how He already, not fight, He already fought, past tense, for you. He already fought for you because He went to Calvary and He died for every sin, for every transgression, for every inability, for every inadequacy, for every failure, for every heartbreak, for everything. He already went to Calvary and fought that battle. So truly, you wouldn't have to, but you got a decision. But I'm going to tell you that the enemy wants to draw you back. That even though you were created in the image. Oh, thank you, Brother Edwin. You may not hear him right now. He's saying, you can make it. I love you. You can make it. And the enemy wants to pull. Because, I got kicked out. But when you're truly converted, when you're truly converted and filled with the Spirit, born again of the Spirit, it's easy. Put your hand up towards me. It's easy to just say no. Now, how can I get? How can I attack? Where can I get? So now I'm converted, strengthened. Brethren. So may I tell you one more time. Thank you, brethren. One more time, even today, the disciples, as they were walking with Jesus down those dusty roads and learning of him, learning about his love, his compassion, yet seeing him so angry and kicking over tables in the temple because they bought and they sold. They saw a real man. They saw Jesus and they learned something. They learned so much, but they still didn't have a complete conversion until Jesus stood there on the Mount of Transfiguration. You hear me? One more second. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus stood there. It is said by many theologians that there were upwards of 500 people that day that were standing there. And Jesus spoke the words, go and tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. He said, this is where you're going to get the remainder of your experience, the remainder of your conversion. But Brother Dan, even though, because it talks about all those that the Lord showed himself to over those 40 days. Here he's ready to be taken up. That's the reason why when you look at that, you can see 500 plus people. Okay, you got it? I'm not getting out of the word. I'm just saying that that's what it seems to be. But what happened? They went to Jerusalem and the day of Pentecost when it was fully come. The scripture said there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and the Holy Ghost sat upon each of them, and they were all A-double-L, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And there were only about 120. Which means there were 300 or so. 300 plus that heard the words of Jesus, but said, I can't wait that long. I got stuff to do. I got a business to take care of. I got an inn to keep. And I got sheep that I got to go tend to. And I got a couch that I got. And I got shoes to go make. They didn't have enough time to complete the conversion. I just wonder, I don't know this, but I wonder how many of them had been baptized. And said, I ain't got the time. I wonder. Are you feeling what I'm saying? Are you understanding? I wonder, Brother Edwin. I just wonder, Brother Dan. I wonder if some of those weren't baptized. I wonder how many of them at the beginning of the first day went. I wonder, Sister Torres, on day two, that they were in the upper room and they were praying. I wonder if there was like 350. But by the end of that evening, they said, well, we've been up here for a whole day. We've been up here for two whole days. Nothing's happened. I wonder if at that time about 100 of them just walked out and said, ain't nothing happened yet. So a few more walked out. I wonder what would have happened if they all would have went and they all would have stayed. I wonder how dramatically the story would have been different. I have to wonder. You say, Pastor, where are you going? I don't know. This is just in me. I just wonder. I wonder if it was the 120 like you here today. And I wonder if I would have been that one person that would have said, man, I've been here for 3 days and nothing's happened. I've got to get back to my business. And I wonder if I was that last person that walked out of the door. That last one that said, still nothing has happened. And then suddenly, there came a sound. I wonder if it was just like that. That one last person that if they just would have waited, if they just would have tarried, they had already tarried that long. They had already waited for the promise. They had already been praying that long. But they said, I just got to get going. I just got this. I got that. And they didn't stay and complete the obedience. Because Jesus said, go wait for the promise. Until you be endued with power from on high. It was those there that day that waited and completed the conversion process. And oh, God, have mercy. What a revival that broke out when the conversion process was completed upon that 120. For that very day, there was 3,000 added unto the church. And there shortly after, another 5,000 that were truly converted and born again of the water. So as each one of us, though we're here together today, oh God have mercy, though we are here together as a group of people today, we are individuals. We are individuals today. We are individual temples making decisions about our temple. Making decisions about our temple. So can I ask us all, no matter how long you've been living for God, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how bad you think you are, no matter how spiritual or unspiritual, can I ask you that question? Do you have or have you been truly converted? Have you been truly converted? As I hear Nicodemus ask Jesus these wonderful things, and Jesus states twice to him, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be converted. You must be converted. You've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You must. Say, oh, preacher, you're sounding very arrogant and egotistical, and you're drawn to, you're dividing hairs. No, I'm not. I'm preaching what Jesus did. He said, when you've been converted, he said, be ye converted. There are multiple places over and over and over again. The conversion process must take place, and it has to be by water and by Spirit. You may have been born again, baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus today, but have you been converted, full conversion by the Spirit? Have you been born of the Spirit today? If not, let me invite you. Let me tell you today, there's a wonderful, powerful gift of the Holy Ghost that God wants to give to you today. He wants to pour it out on you. And as the war rages on, right now it's raging in your mind, and you're struggling in your mind. Can I go back and say, what dog are you going to feed today? Can I appeal to some of you young people today? What dog are you going to feed? Are you going to feed the good dog? The dog that's crying out in your spirit, I want more. While so many of my peers are going off and getting high and getting drunk and having illegitimate children, while all of this chaos is happening all around me, no, I want more of Jesus. While adultery and fornication is raging in the workplace, while pornography is growing exponentially everywhere around us, is there anybody saying, oh no, I've been converted, I've been changed, I'm not going back, I'm a different man, I'm a different woman, I'm not going to be that liar I used to be, that cheater? Is there anybody in this house? Has the devil frozen some of you to the ground with fear? Has the enemy of your soul frozen you solid with fear to your pew, to your chair today, to that place, that seat where you're at? I'm compelling you. Yes, I am. I am putting a little bit more pressure here this morning because it is of the utmost importance and urgency today. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be converted. You're not going to have the power to defeat the enemy of your soul if you're not divinely filled, miraculously filled with the power of His Spirit. You'll struggle. You'll fight. Oh yes, you're going to fight anyways. But the fight is much easier when you've got the loving arms of an almighty God wrapped around you, protecting you, loving you, caring for you. The fight is so much easier with His arms. With His arms of love, with His arms of protection. Anybody else? Come on. Anybody else want to make their way to this altar today? Come on. I don't have to tell you what to say. I don't have. Oh no, you can talk to Jesus as your closest and dearest friend. You can be honest with Him. You can say, God, I've been a mess. You can say, God, I've lived for You all these years, but I've struggled with some things. I've been tempted with some stuff, and I need to solidify my conversion again. I need to be filled with Your Spirit all over again. Come on, where are you at today, my brother? Where you at today, my sister? You see, it doesn't matter how far or how close you might be. God is looking to work in every one of our lives today. God is looking to minister to every single one of us this moment, this hour. Will you allow Him? Will you allow Him to do so? Will you allow Jesus to minister to you? Will somebody help me pray right now? Oh, Saint of God, will you help me pray right now? Will you help me pray right now? I understand, I know all the justification that's going on in some of our minds right now. Well, this happened to me when I was younger. And this happened to me at that church. And this happened to me at this church. I'm going to tell you, you can't continue on like this without the power of the Spirit. Oh, we've all been done wrong. We've all been offended. We've all been hurt. But that's what the power of the Holy Ghost does.